Yeah, so we have raccoons in our chimney. And
welcome.
And you're saying welcome because you know what this is like.
100%.
Yeah, and here's the deal with us is we have baby raccoons in our chimney. So, of course, the thing that I did was I texted our friend Sam Bingham, who works at Windy Gap, Young Life's Windy Gap. And he was immediately like, I can be in on Tuesday. Just that quick. He just said, I'll be in on Tuesday. And I was like, well, if you talk me through it. He was like, I can talk you through trapping the mama. He said, but I don't want anybody else handling those babies.
Mm.
Just the idea of Sam driving in from Windy Gap to like get those babies out of my chimney.
He's like an L&D nurse for raccoons.
But like,
he's a doula.
It's not just that he cares about us, but like he cares about those babies.
Right, right. Oh man, this is he's probably my oldest friend. Like if you look at numbers, like
you're the friend you've had the longest.
Yes, and
I'm older than Sam.
Which is like if you like did a Venn diagram of us, there's not much overlap, but we're still great
like
friends.
Interests and
right. Yeah, I mean like you know, there's like fishing and like being outside.
Right, right.
But like otherwise, you know, we just like we can go out and hang out together and just have a blast.
This is a man that if you don't know him, he's one of these guys that like to say he's unique is like the greatest understatement in the history of the world. He's one of the most unique human beings I've ever met. He can express more with his eyebrows than most people can in their full range of facial expressions.
We have like, so Sam, we, the funniest thing was we lived together for 4 years and last year it was just like, we lived together 4 years straight. And last year was our first time we hadn't lived together in four years. And it was just like something was missing. You know, like we shared a dorm together. My freshman year of college, his sophomore year.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then we had 3 years in a house together with four of our best friends. And we had this saying amongst our friends where we would say, like he would do a Sam thing and we would just say, never change. Never change who you are. Because like, here's like a great picture of Sam. Is he would, as soon as he would throw open the door of the house, you know it was him because the way through the door opened. He would set everything down right by the door. And then one shoe would come off. He would climb four stairs. Another shoe would come off. He would climb four stairs. His shirt would come off. He would climb four stairs. His pants would come off. And then by the end of it, there's just a trail of clothes. And then you see Sam in his underwear sitting on our couch. And like, it became this thing where it was like, okay, we've asked him to put his clothes up. It doesn't matter. So we started by year three of living together. We had this Christmas tree that we kept up for 3 years. First of all, we started hiding things under the couch. And then when we ran out of room to hide things, we would stick them in the Christmas tree. Like, it was like, okay, Sam's sock is going to go behind this ornament. And when we moved out, we lifted up the couch, and he was like, there's my pants. Where have they been? Like, dude.
We hid those 2 years ago.
They've been in there forever. You don't even fit those anymore. Man.
I love this thing that Sam does when anybody is eating food that Sam wants some of in the room where he doesn't ask for it. Sometimes he doesn't even look at the person who's eating it. He just sticks out his hand and his fingers toward the food and just wiggles his fingers. And you guys started calling it hungry fingers.
Hungry fingers. It's like, if you've ever seen the show Rocket Power, you need to look up the woogity woogity woogity. Cause that's what Sam did. He hovers over here and he'll raise his eyebrows. And it kind of has this look on his face. And he's like, let me try some of that. And you can't say no, because his hand's already there.
He's so precious.
What do you do? You slap his hand away?
Oh, man.
Gosh, I miss him.
He's one of those people that, like, he would do anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's nothing that you would ask. And he's like, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I called him about the raccoons just to get his advice. I mean, I have a trap, you know, so it's like, I just need to get advice about how to, you know, how to lay this out and stuff. And he's just like, I'll be there Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I will leave my job, drive 3 hours, and I will come rescue these babies out of your chimney.
I can talk about him forever. Anytime I hear the song Rhinestone Cowboy, because that's been his alarm for 10 years. So... Every morning our freshman year, that's what I woke up to.
Like his phone alarm?
Yes.
Like to get him up for class or whatever?
And I had to walk through his bedroom to get to my room when we lived in a house together. So I heard it every day for 4 years. Just like a rhinestone cowboy. And that's as far as it'd go because he would hit it. And I just... I don't know the rest of the song.
By the way, I think that the last four or five episodes of this that we've done, you have you've belted out the chorus to some song.
I think
that
sounds about right.
I think our listeners appreciate that. Welcome to Ancient and New. We're back with another midweek meditation where Thomas and I just kind of lay out something cool that we've been reading in the scriptures and what it's meant to us. I'm going to get started this week, if that's cool with you. I just realized that I didn't look it up, and so I'm going to do that real quick.
But black or rhinestone cow. We just got to play some music while you're here. Riding
out on a bone. Oh, my goodness. You only know, like, four words of Rhinestone Cowboy.
But if I hear that thing.
Oh, my gosh. It's okay, like a smell. So I've been reading the book of John lately, and John chapter 3, there's a place where Jesus and his disciples start baptizing people. And the folks that are running with John the Baptist are wondering, they kind of approach John the Baptist about it, saying, like, hey, like, does this make you jealous? Because, like, you were baptizing, like, you're kind of known for the baptizing. It's right there in your name, like, John the Baptist. Like, so that's, like, your whole deal. And now Jesus and his guys are baptizing all these people. So does that kind of make you jealous? And John the Baptist has one of his best moments where he answers people and says this. John replied, "A man can receive only what is given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him." And then he says this amazing thing. "The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less." This is some of John the Baptist's best material. But the thing that arrested me when I was reading this was that the way that he describes Jesus and his relationship with the people that Jesus is going after is like a groom and his bride. And he said, like, "I'm just like a groomsman at a wedding," which, like, you and I have both been groomsmen in weddings and even lately and within the past year or so. And the job of a groomsman is so awesome because you don't have to do anything. Like, the only thing you really have to do is probably make a speech, wear a cool suit, and stand there next to your really dear friend while they lay down their life for their bride, you know, and say these, take these vows. It's a really, really fun job, but I immediately identified with what John the Baptist was saying, because he was like, man, when the bride goes to the groom, that fills my heart with joy because that groom is my friend. And that's what he's saying about Jesus. And the thing that really, really got me, and this was what was so encouraging when I read it, was, oh man, the way Jesus feels about me is the way a groom feels about his bride on their wedding day. Like, there's so many times that I'm tempted to feel that Jesus is frustrated with me, that he's waiting for me to get it together already, that he's disappointed in me, that I'm in trouble. That's just like a constant temptation to feel. And yet, what the scripture says is the way Jesus feels is the way, like, a groom feels as his bride is walking down the aisle toward him, like, on their wedding day. And John the Baptist says that joy is so huge that it radiates out to me and I feel it. Like, I'm not jealous when people go to Jesus, because Jesus is so full of love for the people that he's drawing to himself. And it was just such an encouraging thing. I think it's one of my favorite parts about my job that I get to officiate weddings. And whenever that moment happens, whenever a bride is walking down the aisle, everybody in the whole wedding stands up and turns and faces the bride, and they watch her walk down the aisle. But I always watch the groom. I always watch his face. And there's, like, that is the sweetest thing, to see that groom's face. And I always think about this verse, that this is the way Jesus feels about me. And that is such an encouraging thing.
I think we were reading that in a small group recently, that a buddy of mine and I lead with some college guys. And I remember him pausing right there. No, he was just talking about getting married, because he just got married a year ago. It was June 18th of last year. And it was a wedding that I was in and that you were at. And I think we were just kind of saying, hey, what's it like? And he said, I think I learned something about how Jesus feels about me that day. Because I got to stand and watch my bride come down the aisle, and I looked at her in a way that, those dots clicked about the thing John the Baptist said, and I, along with I'm sure plenty of people who are listening to this, like, don't know what it's like to be standing in that position. But like you said, I've stood there behind my friend and seen the look on his face, and I've heard you say it, and I've heard him say it, and I've heard people say just what it's like to look at your bride and to the want, the desire, the love in your heart in that moment and forever is unmatched, and except for when Jesus says it right there, and it's such a beautiful thing.
There's a weakness. You know, our friends that we know that we've gotten to see get married recently, they're weak at that moment. You know, especially when, especially our friend Jeff Mason, we all knew it was going to be that way. Yeah. But, you know, when Erica was walking down the aisle, I mean, this man was in ribbons, you know, just falling apart. And I remember for me, Christy and I are about to celebrate our anniversary. It'll be our 17th anniversary.
Where y'all going to celebrate that from?
We're going to have to do that early because
you and I are going to celebrate it. I
believe you just said that to me on this program.
We're going
to
celebrate your wedding.
Yeah, because I'll be out of the country. So we're going to have to celebrate early. But yeah, 17 years ago. And I remember I'm one of these people that like falls asleep really easily. Mm. Like I never, ever, no matter what kind of problems are happening in my life, if I lie down horizontal, I'm gone. It's That's over. I don't even have to turn the light
on. St. Louis this year.
I'm just out. And, but that night, the night before we got married, I couldn't sleep. I just couldn't. Mm. It was like the one night of my life that I just could not go to sleep. I was so excited just thinking about her and to think that Jesus feels that way about me, not disappointed, not frustrated, not waiting for me to get to the, you know, to the next checkpoint or whatever, but just that longing, that delight, that love. That was so, so encouraging.
Mm. There's a place in 2 Peter. I've been really amazed by Peter lately. I've kind of been, you and I together lead this Bible study on Sunday nights for high schoolers, and Lee's been preaching for the past month, so I've just kind of been doing the thing.
Been wonderful.
Sunday night off.
Sunday night, I'm kicking my feet out of my house.
But I decided
to drew a picture last Sunday night. It was like sat there with my son and drew a picture. That was thank you.
You're welcome. But we've been walking through the Gospels and following Peter. Just like I was like, hey guys, we're just gonna do this. I'm interested in him. He's one of the most intriguing people in the Gospels and in the New Testament to me. And it kind of coincided with me reading his letters. Because he's a surprising dude. If you watch his trajectory, you know, like if you watch who he was to like who he is, I think it's in Acts chapter 5 where they say people are dragging the sick out in the street just to get in his shadow. You know, and you're like, wow, this is the guy. This is the guy who like, you know, has done some silly things. And he says this thing in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. He says, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me.
Mm.
And I was reading that recently in my quiet time, and he said a word in there that I was like, whoa, tent. He says tent. He referred to his body as a tent.
Mm.
And I don't know if any of this is amazing.
Wow.
Hey, Nina.
Hi, Nina.
Welcome.
Friends, welcome Nina Reed.
Do you want to come talk?
No.
Say hi.
Hi. This is crazy. What are y'all talking about?
2 Peter chapter 1.
Okay.
What do you know about it?
Absolutely nothing. Is that a book in the Bible? I'm just kidding. Who's Thank you Peter? For this water bottle.
Yes. I hope you enjoy it. The chair's by the door if you want to make sure that you like it. Cool.
Thank you.
Cool.
Huge shout out to Nina Reed.
Yes.
Welcome to Ancient and New. See you next time.
Cool. It's awesome. See you, Nines. That was amazing.
Yes.
Usually it's Tom. We decided, let's record at my house so this doesn't happen.
Yeah. And then it totally happened. That was wonderful.
It's funny. We walked in here. I deadbolted the door. And I thought, why am I doing that? And then I unlocked it.
Yeah.
And then
everything's fine.
It was amazing. But anyways, I'm just going to read it again.
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
2 Peter chapter 1. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me.
Mm.
And I've been someone who throughout my life has gone camping. Just like for funsies. Like, my dad and I will go fishing in Minnesota in the summer for a week. And it's never more than a week that I'm in a tent. It's never more than a couple days that I put. I can't imagine living in a tent for eternity. You know, it's a temporary structure that is.
That's actually hell for me.
Right. For me, it's amazing for a week. You know, like, that's about my max, because it gets blown around, it gets tossed around, it's uncomfortable, it's small, it's hot, it's cramped. And then when I thought about my body is that way. Mm. It's a temporary structure that I'm going to take down, and I'm going to leave behind at some point.
Yeah, this is a super interesting insight for me, because I don't like camping. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like not my thing. When I think about like things that I just think are awesome, which I know that puts me on the outside for a lot of people. A lot of people love camping. That's awesome. And I definitely will go camping. I mean, mm-hmm. there are things about it that I enjoy. I do love, once everything is set up, and everyone is fed. All the little children are fed and stuff, mm-hmm. so that there's no, like, nobody's freaking out. And the sun goes down, and we're just kind of sitting in camp chairs around the fire. Now, I have to admit, that is a wonderful experience. It's awesome. You know, I think that's great. But I don't like bugs. I don't like roots. I like my comfy bed. I like clean sheets. Mm-hmm. I like all those things. I think the air conditioning is the greatest invention by human beings. I love ceiling fans, like all of these things. And so for me, a tent is like, it's not my choice. And so I really connect with you bringing this part of this verse out, because I think that a temptation that we have is to look at our life and to be super disappointed with the fact that it's hard. Mm. You know, it's not what I wanted. And it's like, this wasn't supposed to be home. Mm-hmm. It's a temporary home that you make the best of, and then at the end of it, you break down the tent and you go back to your comfy, awesome home where there's air conditioning and a ceiling fan. Mm-hmm. And you know, the idea that, like, yeah, my life is difficult, and sometimes there's a lot of confusions and a lot of things are uncomfortable, and you know, there's bugs, there's not a great bathroom, you know. Let those things expand into the analogy. And then at the end of that trip, you know, we have some experiences, some adventure, and then at the end of that trip, I get to go home. Mm. And that's a huge deal for me.
Yeah, and I read that scripture I think I was in the middle of a tough week or something, and I just thought to myself, it's almost over. I'm not going to be here that long.
That's right.
The hard things, the momentary struggles I'm going through, man, they're going to be over soon. This body is going to be gone soon. It's going to be broken down. It's going to be packed away. I don't have to deal with it anymore. And I'm going to go home. My permanent home that is going to be... I mean, like you said, let the analogies run.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an analogy we can come up with that can compare to our permanent home and what it's going to be like. Sometimes I think about, like, man, like when the dogwoods bloom. Mm-hmm. In April here in Tennessee. It's my favorite thing. Like, the other day, you weren't there on Sunday, but one of the trivia, like, one of the questions I asked was, like, hey, I want to get a tattoo. What should I get? And people were putting down, like, flowers, butterflies. And I was like, y'all don't know me because y'all are joking, but you don't know me because, like, that's probably what I would get.
Butterflies are your favorite thing.
Yeah, it's like, there's probably five paintings of butterflies around my house right now. And I just thought, sometimes I will see something. I'll see a monarch butterfly fly by on its way to Canada or Mexico.
Yeah.
It's the third generation. And I think that is amazing.
Yeah.
This is a fallen world. What's it going to be like in heaven?
When it's not fallen. Yeah.
What, we have dogwood trees here.
What's an untainted tree?
What in
tree?
The world do we have in heaven? This place is temporary. It's going away. My body's temporary. It's going away.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be somewhere forever that I can't even imagine.
It's fun. Like, this may be stretching the analogy too far, but, you know, I think about the camping thing, and for some people it's their happy place. That's what they love. And for me, it's not so much. I don't love the ground or bugs or anything like that. But I like coffee shops and clean clothes.
Yeah.
But,
it's your next record, I think, since you're calling it.
Wow.
You did just have an EP come out. Check it out on Spotify.
No, do not try to. No, too late. Don't try to rescue yourself on that one. But, this may be stretching the analogy too far, but yeah, I don't love camping. I'm not very good at it. And so, like, when I go, I always want to make sure that I'm with Joe Penley.
Mm.
I want to find somebody that's awesome at it. Mm. It's still not comfortable for anybody, but when you're with somebody that knows what they're doing, then it's a much more enjoyable experience. And I do think that's a good reminder, as we're kind of likening life to camping, and this body is a tent, is that, like, it's going to be hard and uncomfortable for everybody, and it's going to be temporary, but, like, hey, go with people who know what they're doing.
Right.
Get somebody that knows how to camp well.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's amazing.
And you know, go with somebody that has some experience so that you're not just trying to figure everything out for the first
time.
That's
right.
When you go with somebody that's been a million times and knows what's up, then that experience is going to be totally different.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I didn't even think about that. This is one of those things where I love talking about scripture with someone else,
right?
Because that never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
But here we are, and I have a memory that I have a thought about scripture that I'm walking out of here today.
Right.
That I didn't come up with on my own. I couldn't have come up with on my own. I didn't think that way.
Yeah.
And then you just gave me a great nugget for the rest of the day. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a sweet thing. Well, we're here at the Nest. And today's episode is obviously brought to you by Sam Bingham.
And Nina Reed.
Nina Reed.
Follow her on Instagram. Honestly, follow Sam on Instagram because it's the best thing you'll ever do.
But here's the thing about Sam's Instagram is that it's called, it's like...
Insta-Schmeehagram.
Insta-Schmeehagram.
It's a word he made up when we were in middle school.
Yeah, he invented this word, Schmeeha. And by the way, that's the only thing that my wife calls him.
Shmee.
Is Sir Schmeeha.
Sir Schmeeha.
And yeah, he's just a wonderful...
His Snapchat handle is Schmeeha Snapper. And if you ask him, what does it mean? He'll say, exactly.
Con leche.
Con leche.
Yeah, so until next time, remember, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
And this has been Ancient and New.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. Father.